Okay, I'm next. Amen. Is that lovely or what, man? Hallelujah. I forgot the last two times that I preached, I owed somebody a shout out. Somebody heard about, I guess, 25 years ago, I said something real dumb. Oh, extremely dumb. Ignorant. This was when we first moved into our church. I thought I was the church prophet at the time when we first started. And I came up here and I was shaking like this. And I said, I got a word from God. I got a word from God for the church. And I know I do. And there's just one word. This is a true story. It's sad. And I said, Akula Matata.
Two words.
Not if you're African. So Veronica, you want me to say Akula Matata? Veronica, there's your word. I said it. Laugh at me, make fun of me. I said Akula Matata 25 years ago. I wasn't praying in tongues back then. I didn't know any better. So there you go, Veronica. There's my shout out to you. Amen. Akula Matata. I guess that's two words, I guess. But I'll never say them again. Last time. Hallelujah. Robert, if you can't just, until I start doctrine, roll with me. And when I start in doctrine, you can ease your way off and sit there on the front row or second row, wherever you sit. I can't believe I said that and thought I was prophesying Akula Matata. My God. That was every bit of 25, 30 years ago, so disclaimer. Hallelujah. You're going to really enjoy the message tonight. I've been going through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and the Proverbs and Psalms just for so long. And I just know one thing from God the Father, that you can't spend your day with Christ's desires, wants, needs. They eradicate, man. I'm very dogmatic about church attendance. Not because I'm being mean, because I spend so much time in the prayer closet that that's my life now, man. It's real hard for me to comprehend. It's real hard how so many saints can miss so much church. I don't understand it, because I don't work, so I got one over you. I don't work. I wish I did, so I could help my beautiful wife. I don't like her working all the time, man. My wife can write a book on being a godly wife, but I wish she didn't have to work. So I spend my day in prayer. I literally do. I start at 6:30 every day, sipping on some warm coffee. Pray till about 12:30. Go outside. And I don't do nothing by checklist. I got to do an hour this, an hour that. No, I just wake up, drink the coffee, and just start worshiping God. My confessions come. My meditation comes. I don't do nothing by checklist, nothing by ritual. I got to do an hour a day of praying in tongues. I got to do an hour of confession. No, I just go with the flow, man. And I go from 6:00. I just say that to teach you what prayer can do to you, man. There's no way in the world you should be the same this year as you were last year. If you're spending time in the prayer closet, praying in the spirit and fasting for God's glory, your needs, your wants, your desires, they eradicate, man. They leave you. You should not be the same and want have the same needs, wants, and desires 6 months where you were 6 months ago. They should be eradicated. So I'll pray every morning. The morning belongs to Him. I'll stop at 12:30, go outside, lift some weights, do the treadmill, get done with that, come back inside and watch the news. If you don't know, we're at war right now. I pay attention to the TV because we got soldiers fighting for our freedom. And our president needs our prayers right now. He needs our prayers. We want to complain about things. We got soldiers dying for freedom, man. Freedom. You don't appreciate freedom. You don't have it anymore. Make no mistake. The Iranian clerics want us dead. Make no mistake. They want us dead. So you can't stay the same if you're praying, reading your word for his glory, man. Things die. They eradicate. Wants, needs, desires, they die, man. They die. I know some very wealthy people that have offered me all kind of stuff, and I can easily tell them, it's okay, man, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with a bigger car or a vacation or a bigger house. There's nothing wrong with it as long as it don't have you, man. When it has you, that's a problem. Me and my wife were meant to be. When I had a good job, she didn't ask for nothing. Now that I don't have a good job, she can't ask for nothing. But your wants and your desires, they eradicate. Your want for a bigger house, a bigger car, we need to go on a vacation. That's not in us. That's just, it dies. It's eradicated, man. It dies, Miss Gay. It dies. You don't need nothing. I heard Marty telling me last week what he wants to do. That's between me and him. I don't have the liberty to talk about it. What he wants to do is so commendable because he just wants more God. It's unheard of what he says to me. But I know that Christ can change all your ambitions. He takes them away, man. Your desires, your wants. There is no want. I just want more of him. I think, King Cyrus in the book of Ezra was a Persian. King Esther's husband, I can't pronounce it, how do you say it? Xerxes or whatever his name is. King Esther's husband was a Persian. King Cyrus was a Persian. The people in Iran, 60%, aren't Arabs. They're Persian. Somehow, I don't know, there's got to be prophecy about that, because the Persians come into defense of the Jews right now. And 50,000 of them have been killed by these evil clerics. These Ayatollahs have killed them, slaughtered them, slaughtered women because they wouldn't wear their hijabs or the scarf on their neck, on their hair. Because they wouldn't wear them, and they would take the hijabs or hijabs off because they were tired of it. All they want is freedom, man. 50,000 Persians slaughtered, shot, because they shouted and went to the street against men with rifles and said, "We want freedom." And they paid the price for wanting freedom by being shot and killed, raped and molested because they wanted freedom. They wanted liberty. They wanted freedom and liberty But guess who's got it? We got it. They would risk their life to get freedom. Yet we serve a Christ that has freed us. And we are so passive in the body of Christ. Church attendance has become an option. We've amended church attendance. It's been amended. Prayer has been a ritual instead of a love and a passion, man. Bigger houses, bigger cars have become our desires, a necessity. It's sad. But that's where I'm at, man. There's good, righteous people in this church. Good, righteous people. Good, righteous people. I don't want to be a good, righteous Christian. I want to go all the way, man. If these 50,000 Persians could risk their life to be free, why can't I give my life for the gospel, man? Why can't I lay it down? Why can't, if I could stay strung out in my days as a sinner, strung out for cocaine onto it, why can't I give my life to Christ in prayer? If I could stay strung out on crack binges for days, why can't I be a radical for Christ, man? Why can't I give my day to him in prayer? Why can't I sit back 2 or 3 days a week of fasting? Why? Why? I can and I do and I will and it will increase. That's where my quiet times have me. I'm not the same this year that I was last year. My needs and desires and my wants of last year are gone, man. They're eradicated. They're gone. And I give God all the glory, man. I give God all the glory. If 50,000 Persians could hit the streets against Iran's soldiers and be killed because they wanted liberty. My God, the church has missed it, man. We have missed it. Do you know what I would give to borrow your eyes for 30 minutes to open this book and read it? What I would do, man. To borrow your eyes for 30 minutes just to read this masterpiece, and it stays hidden in our closets. What I would do, man. I'm sorry. Thousand Persians been slaughtered. Women tired of wearing a hijab or hijab or what it's called, the thing they put on their face that covers their neck, their ears, and their head. They said, no, we have rights. They would take off the hijab or what it's called and be killed for it. All because they wanted freedom. But yet we've been freed by a 33-year-old Jewish man named Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the incarnate God in the flesh. And church had become an option. We call the secret place a nice song with a tear, and we have a secret place. That's commendable to an extent. But the secret place is far more than a good song and a tear, man. The secret place is a lifestyle of prayer, man. I give God all the glory. We're going to start with some doctrine in a little bit, I think. I told you how in dialysis sometimes, once a month, the social worker comes to you and asks you all kind of questions. They want to know if you're suicidal or not. If you walk into dialysis, it's like a funeral home. You can feel the depression in there. The people are so sick, tired, fainting, screaming. They faint sometimes. You get two big old needles stuck in your arm. bigger than needles that are that women use for epidurals, or bigger needles than that. It's the biggest needle that you can use to go into your arm. I think they call it a 16 gauge. And sometimes if the technician misses the artery, you hear people yell. They ain't missed yet on my arm. They better not. It's a big needle. But you feel the depression in there, man. The social worker came to me, was asking everybody, chair by chair, questions about their love life, all kind of just not being, well, what am I looking for? Not being perverted. They're just asking you questions. They want to know if you are suicidal or not. He's been asking for a year the same question. He finally wised up this week. Mr. Bencourt? I said, yeah. He said, never mind. I know. I know. You got Christ in your heart. Yes, sir. Save someone's face. Okay. And then we started talking football, and he left to the next person. That's a testimony to Christ, the man. He said, never mind. I know. I know. Amen to the Savior. Amen to praying in tongues. Amen to fasting. Amen to the Word of God. Amen to thankful spirit. Amen to God for being God. And we let God be God in us, man. He eradicates. Eradicates those weaknesses in your life, man. And it comes with a price that I'm willing to pay, man. Two people died last week that I prayed for. Two, the friend of mine that was in the rehab center that I've been going to visit the last 4 or 5 months, taking her food, she died. Buddy that I came up here and prayed for 2 or 3 weeks ago that was went to sit in the hospice, he died. And I prayed for both of them. That's not kingdom, man. I'm going to keep waking up in the morning. I'll get to begin tomorrow at 6 o'clock, 6:30. I'll go to 12:30. I'll get done, lift weights, get on the treadmill, watch news, and hit the Bible again for 2 or 3 more hours till the mercy inside of me is birthed and it grows more and more. So when I lay my hands on a sick person, in Jesus' name, they'll rise up, man. That is kingdom, man. I will not be the same. I will not be the same. I love spending time with Jesus, man. God knows I need it. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. I can just imagine me if I didn't pray. Oh, my Lord. But I love it. Miss Gay, I love it. There ain't no better pray for me. It's just, I want to pray. I don't put a ceiling of hours over my life. I just go, man. I just go. You hear me say it once, you hear me say it again. I want to be as they that love not their life till the death. Amen? Is that what you want in your life? I don't like Homer very much. My wife says, neither do I. That's why Homer spends time with the Christ, because he changes Homer. The Homer that I don't like, I know how to change that Homer, meaning the Christ that I do like. I will not be the same. I will not be ashamed. I will fight through adversity. I will fight through kidney failure. I will fight through these eyes. I will fight and I will shine no matter what I am going through. I will shine. Why? Because my spirit has been sanctified, purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have no excuse for failure. I will shine. Whatever my body goes through, I will be in church and I will shine, man. I can catch a healing right here in church. Unless I'm missing my legs, I'll be here. If I can feel bad at home, well, I'll just take a shot and come to church and maybe I won't feel bad in church. Maybe I'll just catch my healing. I'll catch my healing right here. I'm sorry. That's where I'm at, Ms. Gay. That is where I'm at. That's where hours in his presence have me. Excuses have been eradicated, man. Amen. You still love me? I heard about three or four. I'd be mad at me too. Don't worry about it. So the Persians in Iran are defending Christians. King Esther's husband gave a decree. Jews were saved through a Persian. King Cyrus was a Persian. Kings were saved in the book of Ezra. I don't know. Prophecies being fulfilled through the Persians. I don't know. The Persians are stepping up to the plate, man. Things are going to get tough, man. Don't give me this about this pre-tribulation rapture filth, man. Don't give me that, man. I'll hit you with this mic right across your head. Well, Christ is going to come before it gets bad. No, no. Tell that to the 3,400 Nigerians that have been slaughtered for their faith, man. Tell them about the pre-tribulation rapture. Tell them. Tell them, Vladdy, right, Vladdy? Tell them about the pre-tribulation rapture. You Christian coward, you're just scared things are going to get bad. Don't be scared. Grace will sustain us, man. Period, Ms. Gay. That's right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't care. I know I'm not. If he comes before me, it doesn't matter. I'm not scared. Grace will sustain me. But I do not believe at all in the pre-tribulation rapture at all, because it's not true. Tell that filth, that heresy to Christians in Nigeria that have been slaughtered for their faith, man. To the underground church in Iran where Christians are being slaughtered for their faith, but us, you can go to America, we got it made, man. We've made church an option, man. Noise there. Oh my God, Miss Gay. Praying in the Spirit and all this fasting and Bible meditation. It's giving me guts, man. It's giving me guts, man. To take it to the end, man. To take it to the end. We're structured. We're sanctified for adversity, man. To handle it. I lost a son 5 months ago. And I can say this, I don't know if he made it, man. My hope is that he remembered the teachings that his dad taught about Jesus Christ, and I am not in torment. Why? Because I am born again. Going through a lot as a Christian, you don't get a medal of gold. We're supposed to work Christians. Our spirit is sanctified, man. Christ dwells in us. We are powerhouses for the kingdom, man. If an unregenerate Persian can be slaughtered for liberty, my God, we are sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. We should be able, all of us, to take it to the end, man. Without any questions asked. Why? We are sons of the kingdom, man. Amen. Then prepare that. Hallelujah. If you have a Bible, if you can roll, Robert, stay with me. If you can roll with me, if not, I understand, but I know you get tired, man. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's talk about toughness, man. Let's talk toughness. You heard me talk about the Persians in Iran that are being slaughtered because they want liberty. And you've heard me. You've heard me. I've been hard on President Trump. And rightly so, because I don't like his persona. I don't like the way he conducts himself. I do not like his persona, but I love his platform. I love his platform. He's egotistical. He's got the I syndrome. But he's defending the people in Iran. Six Iranian soccer players defected from Iran because they didn't want to go back to Iran. So they didn't say their national anthem when they had a soccer game. And they defected to Australia. They didn't want to go back home to Iran because of what's going on there. So they defected. They wouldn't say the Iranian national anthem. So they didn't say it when they played the game. And they knew by not saying it, if they went home, they'd be killed. So they defected to Australia. And Australia at first said, no, we don't want you. You're not welcome here. But President Trump stepped up on Truth Social and said, Australia, you better take them. And if you won't take them, we'll take them. That, my friends, is liberty. Muslim, Persians, Arabs, you want liberty? If Australia won't take you, young ladies, come to America. You're welcome here. That, my friends, is commendable. We better get platforms right, man. As Christians, you will be held liable on the day of judgment for what you supported, man. You will be held. Did you support a platform that slaughters babies? Did you support a platform that takes parental rights away from parents so a kid can turn into a girl and a girl into a... Did you support that platform? You will be held liable in the day of judgment. Did you support a platform that allows drag queens to teach our children? Did you support that platform? Or did you say no? So as egotistical as he is, it's to our best interest to stand by Israel. It is to our best interest to stand by them. Don't listen to Tucker Carlson or Candace Owens. Even now, Megyn Kelly's going crazy. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to that 3-minute clip on TikTok. Don't listen to MSNBC, to CNN, to Fox News. Listen to this. Listen to this. Don't listen to black culture or brown culture or white culture. Listen to kingdom culture, man. There is no culture in the kingdom, but kingdom culture, man. Most 2 or 3 minute videos are edited. They're never left in context. Be careful what you listen. Be careful what you repeat, man. Let's not be ignorant of Satan's devices, man. This masterpiece is what we live by, man. This is what we live by. This has sustained me through kidney failure, through blindness, through lack. This has sustained me and my beautiful wife, man. And my faith is getting stronger, Miss Gabe. Stronger every single day. All glory to the risen Savior. Te alabamos, Jesucristo, mi Rey, mi Salvador. We worship you, Jesus. Eres digno, mi Rey, mi Salvador. We worship you, Jesus. Padre Celestial, I love you, Father. Eres digno, mi Dios, eres digno. That's not tongues, that's Spanish. I'm a Mexican American. I got to preach to my people in Spanish. I'm Mexican, but I am American. I carry the American flag. American soldiers are dying to defend my honor. Black, white, Hispanic, male and female, they're dying to defend our honor. Let's have respect, man. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We're talking toughness. We are bound, verse 3. To give thanks to God always for you, brethren. This is what he said. This is what Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica. We are bound to give thanks to God for you always, brethren. For it is fitting. This is what he said. For your faith grows exceedingly. How many of you want your faith growing exceedingly? Say amen. So here we go. You're going to have quite a lesson here. You're going to be surprised how their faith was growing exceedingly. You're going to be surprised how it was in context of this masterpiece, man. He said, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, for it is fitting. For your faith, Ms. Gay. For your faith, Rachel. For your faith, Julio. For your faith, Jasmine, Miss Memphis. It grows exceedingly. There's something that they were doing that was making their faith grow exceedingly. In other words, their faith was super abounding, Miss Gay. It was overflowing, man. He said, we're bound. I'm redundant for a reason. I want you to get what I'm going to say. He said, we're bound to God to always give thanks for you, brethren. For it is fitting. Or it's an obligation. We have a debt to thank God for you. For your faith, Renee, your faith grows exceeding. It's overflowing, Renee. Your faith in the Christ is overflowing, Renee. How, Lord? What were they doing that caused their faith to overflow? How? How? And the love, every one of you all abounds to each other. He said, your faith, Miss Gay, is growing exceedingly. And the love for you all, for everyone, abounds for each other. And your love for each other all abounds. For that word love is the word agape. He says, it's abounding. Your faith is growing and your love is abounding. It's overflowing. Your faith grows exceedingly. Well, if their faith was growing exceedingly, then I want to know what they were doing to have their faith grow exceedingly. Because I want my faith to grow exceedingly. He's in a love for you all. It abounds for each other. So that we ourselves boast of you. We boast of you in the churches of God for all your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Listen to what he said. Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of one of you all abounds for each other, so that we ourselves boast of you in the churches of God, because all the patience and faith, all the persecution, tribulation that you endure, you're doing something that's causing your faith to grow exceedingly. I don't know what they did. I want my faith to grow exceedingly. I want to be stronger tomorrow than I am today. I want to die a little bit more tomorrow than I am today. I don't want my needs and my desires and my wants to be the same tomorrow as they are today. I want to grow every day. It's a wonderful day to die every day in Christ. As I drink that little cup of coffee and I push back that meal for a day or 2 days or 3 days and I pray in an unknown tongue and I read God's word and I lift up my hands to worship. It's a marvelous day, Miss Gay, to die. To Homer Betancourt, I don't like him very much. See, Miss Memphis, your faith grows exceedingly and the love for you all abounds for each other. Why? What were they doing, Paul? For we ourselves boast of you in the churches of God for all your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Their faith was growing. Their love was abounding towards other people. He said, because your patience and your faith is growing and all the persecutions and tribulations that you endure. They were going through it, man. For this book's sake. They weren't murmuring. They weren't complaining. They weren't whoremongering. They weren't lusting for money. They weren't here. They weren't there. They were keeping the faith, man. They were being slaughtered, killed. They left idols, worshiped God. They were being hated for their faith in Jesus Christ. The Persians in Iran are slaughtered because they want liberty. The Christians in Thessalonica were wanting liberty and they were living liberty and being persecuted for the liberty that they were living in. You see, your faith, Ms. Gay, is growing exceedingly. It's overflowing and your love for other people, Ms. Gay, is growing. Why? Because your faith and patience, all your persecution and tribulation, that you endure. You're going through it, Miss Jasmine. You're going through it. But you didn't let go of God's word. They wanted to kill you, Miss Jasmine. But you didn't let go of God's word. And your persecution and your tribulation, you were enduring it, Jasmine. You didn't let go of your faith. You were living out of a sanctified, purified spirit. Even when it hurt, your faith was growing, Jasmine. Because in the hard times of your life as a Christian, you didn't waver from the faith, Jasmine. That is commendable. That is our DNA, man. You see, we boast about you to all the churches. Vladi, because your faith grows exceedingly. Anna, and your love is abounding more and more. Why? Anna, you're going through it, Anna, because of your faith. But in that trial, in that tribulation, Anna, you're enduring it. You're keeping the engrafted word. You're not wavering, Anna. Like the Serbians, like the Persians in Iran, they didn't waver. They shouted. They wanted freedom. They took off the hijab. They took it off to no more. No more. We have rights. We'll expose our neck. We'll expose our head. We'll expose our head. Kill me if you want to. I want freedom. We are free, Miss Kay. We are free. Let's die for our faith, man. See, your faith grows exceedingly, Miss Kay. And the love for one of you all, it abounds exceedingly. With all your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulations that you endure. Pressure was coming towards you. Because you wouldn't let go of the Christ. You wouldn't let go of his word. Even when it hurt. Even when you were approached with death, you didn't let it go, Robert Plumlee. You didn't let it go. You hung on to Christ, gave me the hope of glory. You didn't let it go. This world is full of lawlessness, man. People are going to hate us. It's going to intensify even more and more. If you can't get it right now when it's easy, you're going to have a hell of a time when things get bad. A hell of a time. You might even denounce. But Delma, your faith grows exceedingly. Yadira. Yadira shiny. And your love for one all abounds towards each other. In all your patience and faith, in all your trials and tribulations that you endure. Shiny, they hate you because of your faith, but you're not letting go, Shiny. You're not letting go. You're keeping the God's word. Your faith is growing and your love is growing. Why? Because you didn't let go of God in the rough time. That validates your love and your faith growing, man. If you can endure hard times, your faith is not growing and you are not abounding in love. But if you endure hard times, your faith grows and your love increases for other people. Then he said that after, for your patience and faith in all your trials and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God. Listen to what he said. Here goes this once saved, always saved denominational doctrine. Out the window, man. See, your faith grows exceedingly. And the love for you all, it abounds towards everyone. So that we ourselves talk about you in the churches of God. For all your patience and faith in all your trials and persecution that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy for the kingdom of God, for the which you also suffer, that you may be counted worthy for the kingdom of God, for the which you also suffer. He said, there's proof. There's a manifest evidence of God, because patience and faith in hard times is proof that God dwells in you. If you're not patient, if you don't have faith and patience in hard times, that means you're not keeping God's word, and you will not be counted worthy for the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. It's contingent, man. Salvation is contingent. Did you endure, man? People say, you're saved by grace. You're saved, but not by works. The work is obeying God's word, man. the Persian women in Iran took their want, their liberty to the grave because they wanted freedom, man. They wanted freedom. And 50,000 Persians, I pray to God they were born again. But they died for freedom, man. The women took off their hijab. No. We want our neck exposed. We want our hair shining. We want our hair to be seen. We take them off knowing that they faced death. They did that, not born again, man. My God, we've been sanctified by the blood of Christ, man. We have guts in abundance through the Holy Ghost, man. He said, "Is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy for the kingdom of God, for the which you also suffer." What qualifies you to be worthy, that you may be worthy of the kingdom, is that you showed patience and faith in those hard times. You didn't denounce the Christ. You kept the implanted word, man. Are you with me? Is it making sense to you? Your faith, Marty, it grows exceedingly. And the love for you all, it abounds toward each other. For we ourselves boast of you to the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your trials and tribulations that you endure. You're going through it. You're being hated. You're being persecuted. You're being talked about. You're getting kept out of the market. You're being despised. But you didn't let go of the word. You weren't chasing mammon. You weren't after your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband. You were walking the walk. You had patience and faith, hufamone. Your conviction was the word of God. You faced martyrdom, but your conviction was the word of God. Fifty 50,000 Persians did it. Christians were martyred in Nigeria 3,400 in 1 year. Get away from me with that pre-tribulation rapture doctrine, man. That's filth, man. It's a denominational lie. Let me close down with this. What time is it, Mr. Gates? Somebody tell me the time. Okay, perfect timing. Winding this down. Proof. The pre-tribulation rapture is hogwash. Paul said in chapter 2, paraphrasing, don't worry about the coming of God. That word coming is a Greek word, parousia, or that means the actual visible appearance of someone. Regarding the coming of Christ, don't worry about it. That day is not going to come till the son of perdition is revealed, till the Antichrist is revealed. We have to know that he's revealed before Christ comes back. We don't know who he is right now. So Christ isn't coming tomorrow. Take it to the bank. Until the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist is revealed. And when he's revealed, then short after, Christ comes in the parousia, the visual appearance of a monarch forever. You know why I know it's just true? Because Paul says in chapter 2, therefore, stand fast. Why would he say, therefore, stand fast? If the pre-tribulation rapture was true, why would I have to stand fast? If the pre-tribulation rapture was true, Paul was thinking in context, you're going through a hard time. Antichrist hadn't even come yet. And what you're facing is lawlessness. Stand fast, because you might still be alive when he manifests. He being the Antichrist, you might still be alive. So therefore, stand fast so you won't deny when he comes with pressure, persecuting the church, man. It's not going to be a cakewalk, man. Time to toughen up, buddy. It's time to leave Homer at home. It's time to leave Vladdy at home. Time to walk around in shining lights. Time to leave Memphis at home, Renee at home. It's time to be shining lights, man. Taking it to the very end, man. So we are bound to God to always give thanks for you. For it is fitting. For your faith, it grows exceedingly in the love of one of you all abounds for each other. And all your patience and faith and all your tribulations and persecutions that you endure. You're enduring them. The fruit of enduring hard times is your faith grows exceedingly, and the love for one of you all, it abounds. There is a default, man, when you go through trials and you breeze through them. There's a default, and that's an increase of faith and the love for other people. It increases. It won't be a cakewalk unless grace sustains you, man. Grace will sustain. I'm not an expert on eschatology. If I'm wrong, Gary, call me. Tell me I'm wrong. Pastor Bronk, tell me I'm wrong. I'll stand correction. But I don't think I am. Let me fine tweak something I said the other day. I wasn't quite sure if I was correct in my doctrine. I was mostly, but I was off a little bit. The epistle wasn't God's grace. The epistle was an explanation for people that have Christ in them. The epistle is an explanation of how we live in grace. The epistle, the faith and the patience is proof that we're empowered by God's grace to make it in any tribulation and trial. Even if the lawless one comes and we're still here, which I think we will be. But it doesn't matter. Because Paul said, therefore stand fast. In other words, he said, hold your ground, church. If the pre-tribulation rapture was true, then why would he tell them after he said the Antichrist was coming? Why would he tell them after the Antichrist came, hold fast? Why would he tell them that? We can do this, man. We can do this, and we will do it. Because our spirit has been sanctified, purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, man. We are more than conquerors through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let our faith grow exceedingly and the love for one of us all abound toward each other. Hard times to come. It's okay. Our faith is going to grow because we're going to endure anything that comes at us. Anything that comes at us, we're going to endure it. This is a lawless world, man. A lawless world. They're going to hate us. There's a platform now that hates us already. God is being mocked. It's not Israel that certain politicians hate. There's a party that hates Israel. It's not that they hate Israel. They hate the Messiah out of Israel. That's who they hate. They hate the 33-year-old Messiah, the Lamb of God from Israel. There's a platform that's embracing Islam, man. They're embracing Islam. In Islam, women, you have no rights. In Islam, if you commit adultery, they'll cut your hands off. Women, if you denounce Allah and Islam, they'll put you in prison and kill you. That's Sharia law. That's what certain politicians are allowing. That's what New York has put in office. Sharia law. We better know what we support. We better know our platform. We better know it. We better know it real quick. Under Sharia law, women have no rights. You're like a dead dog. A woman can be raped with no charges against a man under Sharia law. Under Sharia law, a man can marry a 9-year-old girl and it's not a sin. That's allowed by Allah. Again, I reiterate, I don't like Mr. Trump's persona, but he's against Sharia law. I don't like his character, but he's against Sharia law. That's got to mean something, man. That has to mean something, that women have rights. Women are not dogs. They're equal to men in the eyes of Christ. Men, we are to lay down our lives for our wives. Lay our lives down for them. That's not Sharia law. That's Christianity. Under Sharia law, gays can be thrown out of buildings and killed under Sharia law. Under Christianity, gays are forgiven. They're loved. We better wake up real quick, man. Rough times are coming, man. I'm game. I'm game. Every day, I die more and more to make it to the end. Please, Gary, if you heard tonight, if I'm wrong on the little bit of eschatology I touched on, please correct me. On the phone, correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't get too deep in it. I'm not too qualified to preach on eschatology, but I believe I got that part right. I heard some of you say amen, so you must be with me. Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love for every one of you all abounds toward each other. How did your faith grow exceedingly? How did your love abound? When tough times came, Miss Gay, I stood tall. I held fast. I was so in love with the Christ that I walked right through tribulation, even if it meant death. If 50,000 Persians can do it, not born again, my God, we can do it too. Through God's grace. Let me end with this, because I know I'm done. Me and my wife are still feeding the homeless. I'm done with doctors. Let me go off a little bit on about a 2-minute tangent. Dialysis, me and my wife studied it last night, because when you get done with dialysis, you are starving. There's a hunger in you that you cannot, hunger for food, that you can't explain it. I got to watch it because I overindulge when I get out of dialysis. I eat. And we looked up last night, why is one starving after dialysis? Because the machine, it takes out all the toxins out of your blood, all of it. But the machine doesn't know any better. As it takes out the toxins, it takes out the amino acids. It takes out the protein. It takes out everything good out of your body as it takes the toxins out. So when you're done for 4 hours, your body's craving carbohydrates. Your protein drained. You are exhausted. But when I sing praise toward the end, I recover faster. But saying that, I say this. There's 3 or 4 blind people that have no one at dialysis. They go on the bus and you're starving, man. You're starving when you get out. Do you remember those days then when you were on dialysis, were you hungry?
Yeah,
starving. But there's 3 or 4 blind people there. They have nobody. They ride on the bus to dialysis. They do it 3 or 4 hours. And they go home on the bus. But the bus takes people home everywhere. So they probably about 5 or 6 hours before they reach home. And they're starving, man. Me and my wife, by the church, by the help of the church, we're able to give them some food. They know my wife's beautiful voice already. Mr. Green, you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. Can you give me a coffee too? We'll give them a coffee, Mr. Green. Mr. Bustamante, they're blind. They have no one. But we feed them. Help us feed them. I don't take a dime, man. It all goes to the needy and to the homeless. Help us feed them. We buy them tacos. Hot food. We don't give them money. We feed the needy. That's where God has me right now. Help us. And I give God all the honor because this church has helped out tremendously. Feeding the needy and the hungry. The funds gotten low regarding that. I don't ask you for nothing from me, for nothing. But help us feed these hungry souls. When I tell you that you're starving of dialysis, it's an understatement, man. Understatement. My wife gets there. They know her beautiful voice already. She gives her tacos. She goes and gets me. But then she comes back. I ask her, hey, did Mr. Green eat his food? She says, They're gone. And we give God all the glory. So God touches your heart. Don't get with me. Give my wife. If you can help out a little bit, we buy food. Hot food. That's what we buy. I'm sorry for crying so much tonight. I'm on fire, man. I'm burning inside. I hate coming off fast, but I have to come off fast because I go to dialysis and you'll faint if you don't eat. I hate coming off of them. But I love every one of you, man. Let's finish, man. Let's grow in faith. Let's abound in love. With patience and faith in all our tribulations and persecutions that we endure. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy for the kingdom of God. That you may. It's contingent. Are you living your Christian life in patience and faith? If not, I'll leave it at that. God bless you. Stand with me, please. Robert, thank you so much. Did you enjoy the word tonight? That's 2 Thessalonians. There's more to come. He told him, stand fast. After he said the Antichrist was coming. So obviously they had to stand fast for a reason because the Antichrist was going to come persecuting the church. That's why he said, stand fast. I'll leave it there. Father, we bless you. We love you. And we glorify you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you for all that you are. Take us, Holy Spirit, through your grace, Father, to the end. to the end, Father. Take us to the end, Father. Take us to the end, that we would count all things but dung, that we may know you, Father. I worship you and I praise you in Jesus' name. We'll see you Sunday with another powerful word. And all people, God said, amen. God bless you. Love all of you.